So persevere. The definition is to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. But in the Christian faith, we know that the latter of this definition is simply not applicable, right? We know that as we persevere, that we persevere in victory. We're already victorious in Jesus Christ. So we continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty. That takes courage. That speaks of courage, of tenacity. The question is, how do you act when something is certain? How do you behave? How do you think? When you believe that something is yours, then you're tenacious, right? You just sit in, you bear down. Nothing really gets in your way. An obstacle is actually an opportunity, a stepping stone to getting closer to what is certain, right? You're determined to achieve it, and you do everything in your power to get there. You grip it firmly, and you don't let go. The Olympics is going on right now, and it reminds me of those athletes. You know, for them, failure is not an option. You know, they may lose a battle, right? But the war is still raging. They're going to win. Nobody goes to the Olympics hoping for a bronze, right? Oh, I'm going to the Olympics and I hope I get a bronze. No. Everyone in the Olympics is going for the gold. Going for the gold. They train that way. And in their thoughts, everything that they do, their training, their lifestyle, what they eat, what they view, what they hear, everything is focused on winning the gold. They're tenacious. They persevere. And do you think their life is perfect? Do you think that they don't have injuries? Do you not think that they have their own personal issues at home with their family, with friends? Yes, they do. Does that stop them? No, they persevere. They continue on. But they know what they're going for. It's at the end, right? It's the gold medal. Christians, Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." It's conditional. It's conditional. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap." It's a promise, but it's a conditional promise, right? You're going to reap. We'll all reap. For us, we're victorious in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're more than conquerors in Him. And we will reap if we do not give up. And I'm of the opinion that too many people in today's day and age give up way, way, way too easily and too soon. I remember a time when I was in sales and some people would come up to me and say, "I quit." I would ask them, "Well, why are you quitting? You're quitting. Why are you quitting?" Their answer, "It doesn't work. It doesn't work." Real reason? Lazy. They never started. They didn't do what they were told to do. So many different things. It can work the same in Christianity. You come to the Lord, and all of a sudden, your life isn't perfect the way you thought it was going to be. And then you come back and you say, "I'm quitting. It doesn't work." It's already worked. The work is done. From here on out, you abide in Christ. You surrender to Him, and you live your life for Him. And He's working all things out to your good. If you truly love Him, Romans 8:28. The consumer attitude of the American people is killing the church. Why? Because that mentality, that thought process has infiltrated the church. It's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about enjoying Him, and it's about giving Him glory. Not yourself, but it's about enjoying Him. That's what you're made to do, by the way. You're made to enjoy God and abide in Him and give Him the glory. Last night I was watching, and I can only watch a little bit of it. Maybe you've seen it on the History Channel, the episode about the God gene? Have you seen it? Anyone seen that? No? Apparently, there's been found in our DNA a portion that has to do with our inclination, gives us the inclination to look for God, right? And it's in our DNA. I don't doubt it's in our DNA. It's in our makeup. But I don't know if you can pinpoint a God gene, right? There's this born-again issue to deal with, right? We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're a whole new creatures. See, the old has passed away. The new has come. It's in that time, the God gene. Science, right? They prove a lot that has to do with the Bible, which is absolutely amazing. I love it. But there's some things that as you learn the truth, you think about it, and you think about Scripture, and you're like, something just doesn't sound right. That's one way of persevering in the Lord. You hear something, you're like, that's not right. That's not right according to the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what we are to be, students of the Word. So when we hear something and it's sideways, it just doesn't sound right, someone else tells us, whether we hear it on TV or at the water cooler, or we hear it out and about in the grocery store, that we hear it, we don't necessarily have to argue at the time, but we persevere in the Lord. Why? Because we know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So I say persevere in Him. He will never disappoint you, and remember that you were made to please and enjoy Him. So what do you get? Something that is beyond this world. Forgiveness, glory, heaven. This morning we continue again in our Overcome series. Last week was about integrity. This week is about perseverance. Joseph is tenacious. He's determined. A person that doesn't shy away from situations which turn out to be opportunities. God appointed divine, God ordained situations, and is willing to do what others are not willing to do. And I pray this morning that you walk away strengthened in your faith, encouraged. Perseverance, tenacity, determination. I pray that those things are kindled within you in a biblical and God-directed way. Now, Genesis chapter 40, and we're not going to read through Genesis chapter 40, but I need to give you just a brief overview of it as we go into chapter 41. In Genesis chapter 40, gives the account of the time when Joseph met up with Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker in prison. Joseph was already there, and somehow, some way, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker offended Pharaoh, and they were thrown into this prison where Joseph was. And on one night, both the cupbearer and the baker dreamed two separate dreams, but they didn't have anyone who could interpret those dreams. And so they both told Joseph their dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and those dreams came to pass just as Joseph had told them it would. In 3 days, the chief cupbearer would be restored to his previous duties. And in 3 days, the chief baker would be beheaded and hung on a tree. And that's exactly what happened. But the chief, and at the time, Joseph had asked the chief cupbearer, "Hey, when you go back into Pharaoh's presence, can you please remember me to get out of this pit, to get out of prison?" And so he asked him to do that. But the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot about him. That was an overcoming disappointment. You know, just as you think, maybe there's an opportunity here. You know, I've interpreted your dream. I know that you're going to go back into your place of employment where you were. You're before the Pharaoh. You're the person who tastes his food to make sure that it's not poison. All he trusts you. Can you put in a word for me? But he forgot about him. Disappointment for 2 years. And it could have been very easy for him to fall prey to disillusionment, to disappointment, but Joseph did not put his trust in man, but he put his trust in God. And even though the chief cupbearer had forgotten him, Joseph knew that God had not forgotten him. He knew that God had not forsaken him, even during this time. James 1, 2 through 4 tells us that it is through trials that maturity is bred in the Christian, that we learn how to trust and depend on the Lord in times of trouble and rejoice. We have to come to an understanding that God is in control at all times. Nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises him. Nothing should surprise us at the time that we're going through. Difficult, yes. But we should come to the understanding that God is still in control. He knows what you're going through. And the indispensable character quality of patient trust can only be learned through trials. And without it, there will be no maturity and no patience. Joseph had overcome, listen, treachery, temptation, and now disappointment. Nonetheless, Joseph persevered in right character. So Genesis 41, beginning in verse 1, says, after 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep, and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. We'll stop there. So after Joseph had interpreted the cupbearer and the baker's dreams, 2 years had passed, and now we have the account of Pharaoh's dream. And when I want to draw your attention to simply that 2 years had passed. You see, 2 years to deliver us out of a trial seems like a long time, right? I mean, if you were to be going through some troubles right now, and you just prayed, and you brought the church together, and you were all praying through that situation, and the Lord just paused, just kept you right where you were for 2 years, would you give up? Maybe after 6 months, maybe after a year and a half, no answer, Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? The answer is no. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And his timing is definitely not our timing. I've learned that time and time again. On one of the old Happy Days television episodes. You guys remember Happy Days? Some of you. You guys don't back there. That's too young. But yeah, Happy Days, right? You should watch them. YouTube them, guys, over there in the corner. But on one of the old Happy Days television episodes, teenager Richie Cunningham had been just grounded for life again, right? For something he had misbehaved, and his father had that father and son talk, right? And during that talk, his dad, Howard, asked him, do you know that there's a lesson in this for you? And Richie's response was priceless. He said, I figured anything with this much pain had to have a lesson in it somewhere. We need more shows like that. We do. But there was always a lesson in that, right? In the situation, there was a lesson, brought you to a conclusion. It was just really good. Right? Had the Fonz. But that's the way real life works. That's the way it works. We don't learn great lessons of life in times of ease and prosperity. but rather character and faith is built during times of difficulty and heartache. Oh, lessons learned during that time? Yes, lessons are learned during that time. Character is not built when all is well, when the sea is smooth. So 2 years had passed, and then Pharaoh's dream. Verse 9. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Pharaoh had expressed his dilemma. We can call it opportunity, right? But no one could interpret this dream that Pharaoh had. And I'll just stretch it a little bit here, and I'm thinking maybe no one would dare interpret this dream for Pharaoh. You know, no one could, but I mean, if you heard this dream, you're like, man, I know what this means, but there's no way I'm telling Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine, because I don't know the answer to that dilemma. That's just an issue, right? Sometimes we're like that when we don't have the answer. And it's like, oh, I know your issue, but I don't even want to interpret what you're going through for fear of not giving you an answer. This is when the chief cupbearer remembered Joseph and told Pharaoh what had taken place in prison. The disappointment of being forgotten for 2 years was actually a divine appointment. And this divine appointment was realized. Have you ever come to a point to where it's one of those aha moments, right? Like certain things took place in your past and you don't know why they took place. But then all of a sudden God provides an opportunity for you to look back, and he just gives you a little window to look back and go, uh-huh, that's why. That's why you allowed me to go through that. That's why you set that up back there. To me, it didn't make sense, but now it does. It was one of those moments, I'm sure. We're going to talk about three areas of persevering. One is perseverance in dignity, humility, and faith. The other one is persevering and fearlessly speaking the truth. And the third, persevere in your divine place of appointment. So the first one, let's read through verses 14 through 24. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. See, Pharaoh was adding a little description in there that wasn't in the first one, right? He says, man, I had never seen a cow like that in all the land of Egypt. Right? So there's some pride in there too. Like, there's none in my land like this, but just to let you know, this is my dream, right? You would have never known that the 7 other ears gobbling up the 7 plump ones ate them up, because they were just as ugly and thin. Right? So he's throwing in a little bit more there. Then I awoke, verse 22. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on 1 stalk full and good, 7 ears withered. thin and blighted by the east wind sprouted after them, and the thin ear swallowed up the seven good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. A few things I want to point out here before we go on. First of all, we're going to talk about dignity, humility, and faith. But listen to this. The expression of godly character is not dependent on circumstances, but it does move one closer to the image of Christ when one remains consistent, acting on godly character. Like a ship that stays on course through a storm is closer to its destination when the sky is clear and the sea is calm. Right? You stay on course regardless of what storm faces you. You stay on course. You continue to move forward. And I'll tell you, when the skies open up and when the seas settle, you'll be that much closer to your destination. Dignity. Verse 14 points this out. Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes. Steadfast, right? Persevering. Not even prison life had stripped him of dignity. This is persevering with dignity, right? He had shaved himself. He cleaned himself up. He could have very well have just said, well, I'm a prisoner. He knows that. I'm going to go before Pharaoh and go back to my pit. Woe is me. But he didn't. Shaved, cleaned himself up, and he went before Pharaoh. Poor doesn't mean undignified is justified. Poor does not mean undignified is justified. I've seen it represented well at grocery stores locally. Very undignified. Pajamas, slippers. Really? Not even prison life, right, has stripped him of this dignity. Poor doesn't strip you of dignity, and Joseph exemplified that. God values you. Glorify Jesus by keeping yourself up. Understanding that you have value. Why? Not because you have good self-esteem. Not because you love yourself. Trust me, you love yourself very, very much. Okay? Very much. You do things that even hurt you because you love yourself. You have no lack of love for yourself. None whatsoever. That's not where your value comes from. Your value comes from one source, the one who expressed an ultimate and sacrificial love. That's God. That's where your value comes from. Vanity is selfish preoccupation and self-indulgence for self-glory, while dignity is unselfish, personal, humble presentation and care for God's glory. For God's glory. We'll see this in Joseph as we go through, that it was all for God's glory. It was all to point to God. Persevere in humility. Verse 16, he says, it's not in me. Joseph didn't use the situation for self-promotion. He didn't try to exalt himself. Apparently, Joseph had matured some since we last saw him in chapter 37, right? He expresses humility. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And this seems very applicable to the story of Joseph, applicable to your life story as well. Through everything that had happened, that had taken place, all the turmoil and tribulation, everything, being thrown into the pit, being sold into slavery, being accused of something falsely, being thrown into prison once more. Through it all, Joseph is learning to put his trust in the Lord and not himself. Next, persevere in your faith. Verse 16 says, God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. He's pointing to God right away. He's just pointing to God. Favorable means right, the right answer, or the approved answer. See, truth is always God's approved answer. Your opinion, your philosophy is not his approved answer. It's his word that's his approved answer all the time. And so he says, God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Whereas when he had dreams at the age of 17, you remember what he would say? Remember when he started telling his brothers? Yeah? What was the word that he used? He used behold, right? That's for us today, that'd be like, hey, listen up, guys. Check out the dream that I had. And he didn't just say it one time. He says, hey, listen up, listen up, listen up. Like several times he said, listen, behold, behold. You guys need to pay attention. Well, he's kind of grown up a little bit. It was in Joseph's patient response that it was revealed that Joseph was learning under the instruction of God's divine circumstances. Joseph was learning to overcome life's challenges with dignity, humility, and faith. And the question for us is, how are we doing in those areas? Are we responding to various challenges that really all of them are God ordained? How are we responding to those? Better today than yesterday? Better this year than last year? It's not in your strength that you're going to do it. It's by surrender, right? We keep talking about surrender. You surrender to the Lord. He will do the work through you. Next key point is persevere in fearlessly speaking truth. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh that what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears, blighted by the east wind, are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. What's great here is that Joseph didn't shrink back from giving Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream, but others, again, couldn't do, and maybe even wouldn't do. He proclaimed as God's truth. Persevere by giving God the glory. Twice Joseph told Pharaoh, in verses 25 through 32, twice he told him, God has revealed or shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. What he is about to do. Joseph's God was not Pharaoh's God. But that didn't stop Joseph from telling Pharaoh where the dream had come from and what it meant. Some of us, again, are presented with situations, I believe opportunities, right? Here's the dilemma. And you have people come to you. They know sometimes that you're a Christian or you're a close friend, and all of a sudden they present you with their problem. See it as an opportunity. Since you read the Word, since you're studied up in the Word, since you know the Word, you can present them not only, this is what I see maybe the issue being, but let me give you the solution as well. When we're faced with a situation in which we're asked to give counsel to someone, we should always refer to God's truth, His Word, the Bible. And Joseph could have stopped with the interpretation of the dream. It's like, hey, you only asked me for the interpretation. Right? So I'll stop there. So, hey, be warm and filled. I'm going back to my pit. But he didn't. He did give a solution to the dilemma. And we have the solution to life's dilemma. Verses 33 through 36, Joseph expressed that. He gave Pharaoh that solution. To judge the situation according to God's wisdom is not where God leaves us, nor should you when given an opportunity to counsel someone in their problems. Give them the answer. Take the extra time to lay out the solution, or how they can get through it, or what they can look for through the situation. Take the time. And all according to Scripture, not your own philosophy. You know, I've heard it often said, well, by my experience, right? And that's all fine if you point back to God's truth. Remember, I mean, this is an example for us. Point to God, point to His truth. Your experience really means nothing, okay? Now, I mean, I'm gaining experience, right? My experience means nothing if I failed through it or I wasn't applying God's truth to it, okay? So experience is not where it's at. Experience, if you're doing the right things and have, and the Lord has over and over showed you just how constant and how faithful He is, cool. Share that. But don't just share your worldly philosophy with someone. That's not the solution. Words do matter. Okay, words really, really do matter. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every single word that was spoken. That was a few just right there. And then some more, right? All of them. People will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's your words. Choose them wisely. Third key point, persevere in your divine place of appointment. God has ordained each and every place where you're at. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Persevere in your divine place of appointment. Verse 37. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. What's great is that Joseph didn't shrink back from the opportunity or from the appointment by Pharaoh. In fact, it was the beginning of the fulfillment of the dream God had given Joseph back in chapter 37. It was the beginning of it. So first of all, we persevere by recognizing God's appointment. We recognize this is a divine appointment. This is where God has placed me. Even though Pharaoh had made the statement, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. What's cool is that Joseph knew that God is sovereign, that he's the one in control. He orders the hearts of kings, right? He didn't have to say anything, but just have that confident assurance that he continually came to understand. We don't always have to point God's sovereignty out to everyone, but just be strengthened in your faith that God is in control when you are privileged to see his hand move. Be strengthened. There are times to point out what God is doing, and times when you just smile as God goes about his work. I had a situation the other day, a conversation to where this friend of mine had said that she was given the option of overseeing another department where she works. And she immediately recognized it as God's sovereign move. And it was funny. She just smiled as she saw God's hand moving. She just smiled and she said, sure, I'll take that department. Because she immediately she saw ahead of what was possible. Recognize God's appointment and his appointments. Secondly, trust in God's preparation. Then you need to follow through. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Trust in God's preparation. Joseph had been successful because God was with him. That's a bottom line. Twice. God was with him, and he was successful under the rule of Potiphar, right? Potiphar was his master, and he was successful. Why? Because God was with him. He was also successful, as we learned, in prison, because God had not forgotten him. He was merciful towards him. And God was with him, and so he was successful in prison as well. And I have no doubt that it was in these two divine situations, and his confidence in the Lord, that helped prepare Joseph for the position of being second in command to Pharaoh. So Joseph was now 30 years old. 30 years old, right? We started out in chapter 37, and he was 17 years old. He was sent out to Shechem, went to Dothan, was sold into slavery, and was brought into Egypt and sold into slavery. He was 17 years old. We know that from the time that he interpreted the cupbearer's and the baker's dreams, that 2 years had passed, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph, right? And then he was called up to come before Pharaoh and interpret his dream. And it says here that Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, you know, you do the math, you know, of course I start thinking about that. So we don't know how much time he served Potiphar, but we do know that at the age of 17, from 17 to 30, it's 13 years, 2 years had passed. So that means 11 years. At the 11-year point was when the cupbearer and the baker had had their dreams. So somewhere in there, we don't know how long exactly he was in prison. It doesn't say. But 13 years had passed. These 13 years served as preparation for this moment. Not easy years, difficult years. James 1, 2 through 4 and Romans 8, 28 always come to mind during those times. Jot those down. James 1, 2 through 4. You've heard me quote that scripture over and over, right? James 1, 2 through 4 and Romans 8, 28. And for us, we need to trust that God prepares each and every one of us for the opportunity he presents to us. And then we need to follow through in response to it, acknowledging that it is God who is doing the work. J. Oswald Chambers said, quote, "Not every man can carry a full cup. Sudden elevation frequently leads to pride and fall. The most exacting test of all is to survive prosperity." To survive prosperity, close quote. Next, also, persevere by recognizing God's deliverance and grace. In other words, be thankful. We need to be thankful people, right? It's like we don't take it for granted. We always understand that it's God that's doing the work. He's provided this. He's appointed me. He's given me this opportunity. He's brought me to this place. And I just need to be thankful people. Sometimes we're just so straight-faced. And let loose. Come on, guys. Let loose, right? Be thankful. Be thankful to God. Don't forget him. Verse
Verse 50 says, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. If you're naming kids out of recognition of how God has made you forget something, then you probably haven't forgotten it, right? Because you just remembered it. Right? It was significant. There's times or seasons in your life to where it's really significant. But you want to recognize that the Lord has brought you through. And even through those difficult circumstances, you have persevered. In other words, like that ship. I gave you the picture of that ship. That's just, it's charted its course. It's set its course, its compass reading, right? And it's set on that target right there. That's the goal right there. And the storm comes, and the storms will come. But the ship continues to move forward, even though it's going through that storm. And after all is said and done, and the sky is clear, and the sea is calm, you're that much closer. Now it's time to recognize that the Lord has brought you through that storm and brought you to a place, and you're thankful. It's a beautiful place of maturity when you don't forget God's grace, but God's grace does bring you through the most trying times. And your response to it is not one of brewing in it and wasting the rest of the days God has loaned to you. It does you no good, right? I'm going to sit right where the storm was. Yeah, everything's calm and all that, but I'm going to remember that storm. I'm going to talk about it every day. It does you no good. Joseph, in the midst of the storm, was continuing to move forward, continuing to move forward. William Wilberforce says, quote, our motto must continue to be perseverance, and ultimately I trust the Almighty will crown our efforts with success. With success, close quote. So let's give an overview before I finish out these last few verses. So what are we persevering in? Persevere in being dignified. Remember, you're Christ's representative. Persevere in your humility, the chief mark of a Christian. Persevere in your faith. Be built up in it because it's impossible to be saved and impossible to please God without it. Persevere in giving God the glory when speaking his truth. Persevere by giving the solution to the problem. You have it in the Word of God. Persevere in recognizing God's appointment. Persevere in trusting God's preparation, and persevere by following through with your task. So often, again, that doesn't come through. I say persevere. Verse 53. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, there was famine in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. There was one man that was given the task of being the deliverer, not only of Egypt, but also the entire earth, all the lands. There's a great famine. People had no food. The only place where there was food, where there was bread, was there in Egypt. Joseph had it. Who is the bread of life? Jesus, right? He's the only one. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the bread of life. There's life in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Just one, just Jesus. When the earth began to cry out because of their hunger, Pharaoh told them, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. I pray that we recognize that there's a famine there's a severe famine, a spiritual famine in the world. And the only way that we are going to make it is by going to the bread of life, by surrendering to Him. That's the only way we'll persevere. And that we lead others. When people come to us and they say, in not so direct words, I'm famished. I don't know what to do. I'm broken. That you simply point and you say, go to Jesus. Surrender your life to Him and what He says for you to do, too. The lesson for you and I is that we need to be poor in spirit and yet rich in the understanding that Jesus is the only one who can sustain and even give us strength for the day to persevere, for the day to persevere, to overcome. He alone is who provides for us in our time of need. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Remember that? What is it that we'll reap? I know eternally, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But for you personally, practically, I don't know what it is. Only you know what it is. Is it peace? Is it understanding, joy? Is it getting a job? Maybe it's just very practical. It's just getting a job. No matter what it is, it's worth persevering in the Lord, because in so doing, you bring glory to Him and you enjoy Him. I have one person I'm thinking about right now that has been without work for a long time, but yet he has been faithful in serving the Lord. He's been he comes no matter what. He's been told that, hey, instead of spending your gas money to come to church and do church things, you should be saving it for doing other things for yourself. He says, you know what? I need to be with my brothers and sisters. And it's just absolutely amazing. You know what that does is it brings glory to the Lord. And the Lord will sustain him and has up to this point. Charles Spurgeon says, quote, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Close quote. I love Charles Spurgeon. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The worship team can come back up. Perseverance. It's a great word, but it's a difficult word. Difficult to persevere in our own strength. It really is. Look for ways to in which we can do it, and oftentimes we fail. God has a way of lifting us up. But I tell you this morning, if you don't know the solution to the dilemma that man has of being separated from God is Jesus Christ. I already gave you some scripture that pointed to that Jesus is the only solution. You need to place your trust in Him. If you're sitting here right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I would ask you that afterwards, after we're done with worship, as you pray and you spend that time with the Lord during this last song, afterwards there are going to be people up here available. I ask that you would come up and ask them to pray for you, and you pray and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It takes acknowledging that He is the Son of God. The word says, Romans 10:9-10, right? 10:9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And I don't tire of saying that over and over. So if there's anyone here who has not placed their trust in Christ, let today be the day of salvation. This morning, come up and allow us to just pray with you and encourage you, give you a Bible, and send you off in the correct way by encouraging you. So do that. After this last worship song, I would encourage you to come up. Persevere. Let's pray. Father,
We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you do not forget about us. You do not forsake us at all. Lord, that even in our difficult circumstances, that maybe it's just a pause. It's not your timing. It's not the place in which you have for us to come out of it. I pray, Lord, that we would simply continue on the course which you have set for us to take, that we would still apply wisdom, that we would be compassionate, that we would be loving, first and foremost toward you, that we would bless and glorify you, that we would enjoy you, even in the midst of our circumstances, that peace that surpasses all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that we would just stay steady on that course. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage your people here, that you would strengthen each and every person here, that you would build us up as your people. I pray for anyone here who has not surrendered their heart to Christ. I pray, Father, that you move them to action, that they confess with their mouths, that they believe with their hearts, and that this morning, Lord, there would be rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repented. And so, Father, we thank you for this time, and we praise you in Jesus' name.